Tonight, our theme will be looking at compatibility, and just like some of you guys asked a question earlier, or if you guys thought in your mind, most of us here are married, yes? And you might say, why would this be an issue of talking about when we're already married? Because most of the time in our culture, when people talk about compatibility, when do they normally talk about compatibility? It's usually dating or selection, right? Of who it is that they're going to be wanting to date, court, slash, be boyfriend, girlfriend, slash, something more than friends, slash, engage, okay? Or someone to be married, okay? So in light of today's theme, I think it is important because actually, if you have the mentality of thinking about marriage, because sometimes in how you begin, you're looking for someone that would fit you, be compatible with you, be same with you. But also when you get into marriage, could that also still be an issue? Because how you have that mindset that the purpose of marriage is that you guys have to be the same or compatible in some ways, it could also be the same way people end up being what? Divorced, right? So today we're going to look at 3 points, okay? If you guys have your outline, what's the first point? Anyone want to read the first point? So 3 points tonight. Anyone want to read out loud the first point?
Point number one, we need to be aware that sometimes people can over-exaggerate the claim of a couple's differences as the primary source of their problems.
I know it's so long-winded, but I want to really emphasize this, okay? Because you guys ever hear this where people say, oh, you know what? The reason why we broke up, the reason why we're divorced is because we're so what? Different. Do people say that?
Yeah.
So this means that the issue of compatibility and similarities is actually a bigger issue more than we realize. Because we think, oh yeah, but how you enter that relationship or how you enter the marriage could end up being what? The very same thinking could end up being what? Oh, well, we're so different, therefore we must not be together. Does that make sense? Okay. And it exaggerates that's the problem. But I would actually say that's not even the biggest problem. As we'll go on, there's a bigger problem than that, okay? By the way, we want to talk about this because I think sometimes when people talk about marriage difficulty in the secular world, by the way, it drives me crazy when I read self-help books, even though I try to go and read, like, maybe there's some insight for them, but it always drives me crazy because I think, biblically speaking, the issue is not so much difference per se, but we need to go deeper, okay? So what's point number two? Any happy, motivated reader want to read point number two out loud, that sentence? Edward.
We need to pursue compatibility of biblical belief and practices instead of superficial and familiar.
Okay, so you see number two is, I'm not saying compatibility is not an issue at all, but we could exaggerate, that's point number one. Point number two is, where we need to be compatible or similar is what? In being biblical beliefs and practice, okay? And then point number three, Victor, in big, big boy voice, could you read point number three? Okay, so what these 3 points, let's go on. So people do claim sometimes claim their biggest problem, their relationship of courtship or marriage. Sometimes they say the primary problem is differences between them and their spouse or partner, okay? For instance, this is a popular view today, right? You guys hear people say sometimes, hey Fred, how are you with, Wilma, okay? Yeah, how are you with Wilma? I said, we're no longer seeing each other. She's okay, but, you know, we're just so different, okay? And think about the discussion of compatibility people have all the time, right? For looking at spouse, right? They're like, oh my gosh, we can't work out because he's a Cancer and I'm a Libra. Whatever weird thing people say, right? The issue is that we are all Cancer, okay? We're all sinners that have the capability of what? Destroying marriages, okay? By the way, occultic stuff, you know, all that stuff is not biblical, right? Okay? For now, occultopathia. We call it not tarot card. What do you call it? Yeah, astrological hoo-yah, okay? Okay, so also point number two with this is think about also how many secular and even so-called Christian counseling deals with marriage problems that heavily focus on compatibility, okay? If you want to see your pastor mad really fast, if you really want to see me mad real fast, is be messed up, go to a Christian counselor, and then have them tell you all kinds of messed up stuff and come and argue with me. And say, oh, well, no, it's this, okay? And it, like, think in unbiblical category. You'll see me turn red real quick, okay? Has that happened before? Yeah, all the time, okay? People go in unbiblical Christian psychology, right? And they get all these messed up things. They say, oh, my real problem is... And you're like, no, your real problem is sin, my son. But then they're thinking, oh, no, it's because whatever crazy stuff, okay? Or compatibility, as if, oh, you're so different. It drives me crazy, too, sometimes hearing Christian radio when people call in you know, New Lifeline, and there's like the issue of, it's like, no, the issue is deeper than that, okay? So let me give you an example. In courtship or dating, a couple might have a problem of domestic abuse, but they see the root of their problem is that they are so different. They're of different ethnicity, cultural and social economic class and background. It's why there's domestic abuse in this dating relationship. Do you guys really think it's really the difference of culture? Okay. By the way, this is a real example. Someone has actually told me that. Both parties have told me that. And everyone surrounding them says, oh, the reason why there's domestic abuse is because, you know, one is Asian and one is not Asian. And they're telling me this. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at my wife and thinking, is that a necessity, right? Just because of that, okay? And so I want to bring this up is because people really do think, talk these way, okay? Second example, in marriage, one or more spouse might be thinking of divorce because one spouse expressed frustration by nagging, which is, oh, this, when they're frustrated, what do they do? They nag and they complain. But the second spouse, the way they deal with frustration is what? They're not whining, but they what? Give the silent treatment. And then they see, oh, we're so different. Oh, we're so different in how we handle differences or how we handle frustration. Therefore, maybe it's time to what? Talk to, what do you call those lawyers? Those vultures. What do you call those vultures? Huh? Divorce lawyers? I think they have a fancy, nice name for them. There's a family lawyer or whatever. I don't remember what it was called. There was a, I forgot, there was a nice name to it. But whatever those, huh? Ah, I forgot what it's called. But anyways, those vultures, okay? Maybe it's time to see those lawyers for divorce, okay? But I think we must think deeper here. In these examples and others, is it always going to be primarily the issue of differences that leads to couples having conflict and even problems within their marriage, okay? So let's go to point number one, okay? Point number one is this. We need to be aware that sometimes we can over-exaggerate the claim of a couple's differences as a primary source of the problem. Let me say this real quick. I think people are different, and sometimes that could result in problems. But I also think a lot of times people could over-exaggerate a couple's difference as a primary source of problems. And I'm going to go over five reasons, why I think that is not the case, okay? So what I'm kind of trying to say is this. Well, if you come to me and say, my main problem in my marriage, my main problem in my courtship is because we're so different, I'm going to be asking more questions. Maybe that is, but I think it's never a self by itself, and we could exaggerate that, okay? Here are the five reasons why I think it is not the case that sometimes we could over-exaggerate the issue of compatibility or say, or our main marriage problem is about differences, okay? Yes, see reason number one? Actually, could someone read reason number one under point one? Why sometimes you could over-exaggerate that is they're so different than their spouse is why they have problems. Reason number one. Go ahead, Edward. Sorry.
Couples who have a lot in common, and they still be fighting.
Is that true? They could be very similar. You know, they both went to same college. They both like to run in the afternoon, in the weekends. They both like to, cook. They both like to walk on runways. They both like to do all kinds of things, you know, in common, right? But does that mean necessarily there is no conflict, right? Does that mean there's no conflict? Sometimes that's not necessarily the case, okay? So that's reason number one why people could over-exaggerate the claim of a couple's difference as a primary source. Keyword is primary source for their problem, okay? Reason number two, could I have, Eric, would you be able to read reason number two under point one? Okay, good, okay. You guys understand what Eric has just read? In our culture, I think sometimes we need to take a step back and realize, in our culture today in the West, do we emphasize a lot on compatibility? Yeah, there's workshops, right? There's some people out there that will make some, you know, money. All conferences on about compatibility. And you're paying them all that money, okay, on that, okay? But you know what's ironic? Is sometimes I feel like going overseas, maybe we've seen our parents. Maybe we also see overseas. One of the things I've discovered is what? People aren't talking about compatibility as much. Like the way we would. Like all the fine little point, you know? I mean, there's some issue of like, you know, you want to have some compatibility, okay? But it's not to the point like we would. We are so custom, right? Like if you type in compatibility in marriage, you see websites offering, oh, look at these key areas and everything. It's so much. But you know what's ironic? In a culture that our society talks so much about compatibility, but is the result good in marriage? What's our divorce rate compared to the past in our Western society when there was not as much discussion? Maybe in the 50s and 60s. Is there a higher or lower divorce rate? Higher. So, I bring this to say that, well, it's maybe caution to say, maybe the primary problem for people's marriages and conflicts and difficulties in relationship isn't about the issue of compatibility. Because you look at the history of the West, the track record, there's not a correlation, but it's the opposite, okay? The more we talk about it, by the way, I think sometimes talking about compatibility could be so much feeding the flesh, right? You don't know how many times in my life I feel like talking to a lot of single guys that are yo-yos that are not going anywhere in life. And they're talking about what they love to look for a girlfriend. And that's all they talk about when you are meeting with them. It's like, hey, I want to talk about their character, right? They have no character. What yo-yo would want to date you because you're a yo-yo? Maybe a yo-yo, right? But in the same way, hey, that's a problem, okay? So with that, okay, by the way, it's also ironic. Even today, our Western culture talks so much about compatibility. But people go overseas, other places, they talk less. Yet the society that talks less about compatibility have a lower divorce rate than even what? Our society that has what? A very high divorce rate, where there's a heavy emphasis on that, okay? If you're not seeing this already, sometimes we talk so much about compatibility of preferences, of personal preferences, that could become very driven by narcissism, right? Like, oh, I need to find someone that really likes to shop at Trader Joe's. Like, sometimes people can be so specific. I really want on Friday night when we're done with work, we go hold hands on Trader Joe's to go shopping. Like, come on, we're married. How many of you guys do that? Okay? You know, so with that, okay? Let's go to reason number three. In the Bible, there's many people who are married, whose marriage lasted, when they didn't even know the differences or similarity of the person they were marrying, okay? By the way, in biblical times, there are more arranged marriage. And in some of those arranged marriage, they were. Okay, so in some of the arranged marriage, they did not know the other person. It's like, oh, let's do a personality test. Are you an INGTF or whatever those ABCDFG tests, okay? They didn't do that thing, okay? They didn't go on and say, hey, go sign up an app and find that out, okay? But turn with me real quick to Genesis 24. Verses 57 to 59. Could I have Chris Chan? Are you NASV or your NIV? Your NIV positive. You're going slow. Okay, it's okay. We'll read NIV tonight. Okay.
Genesis 24.
Yeah, Genesis 24 verses 57 to 59. Okay. So Genesis 24 verses 57 to 59.
He said, let us call the young woman and ask her. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will go. So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men.
Okay. When I read these verses, and I think of my daughter Rebekah, I hope we always interpret things according to this context, okay? It's not just running off, totally not knowing totally, because there is what? The role of parents and, you know, wise consultation, okay? So I hope there'll never be a day where this verse is verse abuse. And my own daughter with the same name says, hey, I go with him, even though I don't know. Okay, no, okay? So the context is, remember, there's already talking of what? The huyas, we've got the Abraham's what? Servant who went there to look for a bride, okay? So that's the context here. It's talking about the arranged marriage of Rebekah to Isaac. Rebekah was committed to marry, even without fully knowing about Isaac. Not even meeting him. She's saying, hey, I'm going to go. And not even knowing, okay, what are the differences we have? You guys see that? Sometimes differences could be overrated. And by the way, did Isaac and Rebekah have a lasting marriage? That didn't end up in divorce. Yeah, okay. So I bring this to say, biblically speaking, okay. And by the way, are there cultures today that have arranged marriage? Is there parts of the world that still have arranged marriage? Yeah, what part?
India.
China, okay.
China.
China, okay. Where else? Like Asian country, Nepal, right? You can think of even Middle East, that kind of thing, okay? And by the way, their divorce rate is even lower. Just keep that in mind, okay? is keep that in mind, okay? I'm not saying every marriage is happy just because they're not divorced or it's godly. But at the same time, when it is divorced, it is what? A serious problem also as well, okay? So I think that's reason number three. Reason number four. Could Edward read it again?
The reason couple fight is because they are more similar than they are different. They are both similar.
Okay, we'll stop there, okay? So really, the reason why there's conflict is actually not so much differences. It's actually because of what? We share something very fundamentally in common. What is that? We're all sinners, okay? By the way, just similarity doesn't mean it's compatibility, okay? If you have similar kinds of sin, you will always be what? Fighting, okay? But I bring that is to say that this verse, okay, reason number four.
Stay on the topic, sorry.
He's saying amen, right? And he's a sinner, just like all of us, okay? So the Bible says, all have what? Romans 3:22, all have sin and fall short of the glory of God, okay? So that means everyone. So the fundamental reason why we have conflict is because we actually are so similar. It's not because of differences. It's because we are so much similar. And what's that similarity? We're all sinners, okay? Listen, say this after me out loud, okay? Everybody say this after me, okay? I have within myself the ability to hurt my own marriage. We all have an enemy within. What is that? It's our own sinfulness, okay? It's not just only our spouse. It's all of us also as well, okay? So I think that's important to realize with that. So reason number five. Reason number five, Victor, could you read, without reading the verse, but just reading up to point five.
The real reason why people who are not that different from corrupt and good to marriage is because of their sinfulness.
Yeah. The real reason why, whether they're very different or very similar, why there's conflict in marriage is because of sinfulness and what? Pride, okay? That's the real root of marriage problem. Is really the issue is not about how different or whatever else. The main issue that's driving it. The root problem is what? Sinfulness, selfishness, and pride, okay? Say sinfulness.
Sinfulness.
Say selfishness.
Selfishness.
Everyone's tracking with me? And say sin.
Sin.
Okay, good. And pride, right? Okay? Pride, okay? So this is what is driving it, okay? Eric, could you read out loud, big boy voice, James chapter 4, verses 1 and 3? Yeah, you could cheat for today. Today's cheat day from you guys eating all those Del Taco, so we might as well go ahead.
What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you can commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive.
Okay, thank you so much, right? This is pretty convicting. James is doing a deep heart diagnostic of why is it that we have conflict in the church, at work, and in marriage. At root is what? The desire to satisfy our own pleasure. Do you guys see the word pleasure being mentioned twice in verses 1, where he says rhetorically, it is not the source of your pleasure that wages war in your members, right? And also in verses 3, okay? So that you may spend it on your own pleasure, okay? So as application, okay? If all the kids, we have to be a little bit quiet so that, you know, I understand if it's, you know, as parents, okay? Point number one, as application, do you believe that sometimes people can exaggerate the claim that the primary source of relationship problem is due to their couple's differences? Do you guys see how people can sometimes exaggerate? Rather than putting it where it's at, okay? By the way, as application point number two, one of the problems with open emphasis on identifying the root of relationship problem being personal difference is that we then downplay or totally ignore the role of what? Sin. Right? Do you guys see that? Sometimes when people say, oh, you know what? Oh, it's because we're different. It sounds so PC. It doesn't sound like a, you know, Fred didn't have anything wrong. Wilma didn't have anything wrong. It's just they're just two different happy person, just crossing paths, but realizing they need to go on a different road. Whereas the reality is what? The reality is Fred and Wilma has what? sin, okay? So if you emphasize that too much, it downplays the real source of problem. We said earlier, it is sin, okay? Some people might feel identifying one's partner relationship problem as sin is judgmental, right? Because I know I've talked about this before. And sometimes you say, oh, that sounds so judgmental. I don't want to hear this anymore, okay? Where it sounds nice to say, oh, we're so different, and then engage in navel gazing. Say, oh, why am I so different? Why am I so unique? Oh, you know, she's not the one because she doesn't know I'm so unique, right? And remember that crazy saying, the whole thing you see sometimes on Facebook and everything? If they can't take the best of me, worst of me in the worst of time, they can't have the best of me. You know how narcissistic that is, right? You when you think about that, it's like, no, the goal is to be godly and change, right? Don't use that as an excuse, okay? But then we need to talk about sin. Some people say, oh, we don't. But then if I talk about sin, it's going to make my spouse even more upset and we have more marriage conflict. But is this the right way to think about this? I think as a rebuttal, I think we have to ask the question, do you realize that you misdiagnose the problem? You will not have a proper remedy, right? If you misdiagnose your problem and said, oh, it's about compatibility differences and we're different, rather than the issue of sin, notice what happens. You'll always go on to find somebody else. And every time you find somebody else, you'll always what? Never find the right person, because why? Your main problem is not because you're so unique. It's because you're a, what? Wretched sinner, right? Who deserves the wrath of God. Okay? Same thing, right? If you have the wrong medicine, now you guys know I went last month overseas, right, to teach theology. So they gave me all kinds of medicine. One of the medicines that everyone laughed was someone gave me this patch. And I was like, oh, this smells like growing up. Well, my parents give it if, you know, your arms are sore, you know, you put it, to help with your sore, you know. And I was like, oh, it smells like that. But then I put it on there, and the person said, you know, when you put it on, everyone in your class is going to laugh, but put it on because it's work. And I can't read the language. I put it on. So Ben Chung, my legalized, official, school-trained pharmacist, who knows how to read that language, I asked him, hey, could you read it? What is this? And he laughed. He said, this is not going to help with your cough. This is a pain, you know, this is a medicine for what? You know, your back pain, if you have what pain, and it makes you feel hot and everything else, right? And that's what it says in the writing of that language, right? By the way, do you see how that is? We laugh at that. If you misdiagnose, and then you give the wrong medicine. Does that make sense? You give the wrong medicine. I bring that is to say that if we don't talk about sin in our relationship, you'll never solve the marriage conflict, because you always say, oh, we're so different. Maybe we could go, you know, honey, I like paintballing. Maybe we could just go paintballing and we'll find something in common, right? Or maybe you don't like that humor. Okay, maybe we got to watch some more romance novels so that you could have romance comedy, so we can have the same humor on the same page. That's not your fundamental thing, right? Okay? If the issue is sin, okay? Remember the example earlier I said about the abusive spouse saying they're so different? That person, will that person change? If he always thinks, oh, the reason why I have this conflict is because we're so different. Will that person change if that person doesn't see? It's really because he's a wretched sinner, right? He's a low, wretched sinner, a loser who could beat a woman. If he doesn't see himself that way, we continue to have problems. When he keeps saying, oh, the problem is she is so different than me. Because it's now what? Blame shifting, right? Do you see how easy it is to blame shift? And yet also do it in a way that now negates sin. You know, sometimes we can use this, and Satan is smart. He uses this to bring about marriage problems. And you know, the sad part for me why I get so passionate about this topic is because I see this destroy relationships. It destroys even young men and women from even being married realistically, because it's so end up being so narcissistic with all of that, okay? Let's go to point number two. All this to say, okay, I don't want you guys to walk out today and say, Jimmy says we should have nothing in common. Therefore, I can marry a non-Christian, because I even know I'm Christian. That's not what I'm saying, okay? So point number two is to balance this, okay? So this is, in other words, a nuanced discussion, because we need to be nuanced, okay? Point number two, let's have this read again. Chris, could you read point number two again? Move on from point one, now we're in point number two.
God does want believers to be
like-minded. Point number two, just the big point, sorry. It's like a Russian doll. Like one point has like many points, okay?
We need to pursue compatibility of biblical beliefs and practices instead of superficial similarities.
Okay. Yeah, so this is where we need to pursue this, okay? We need to pursue this more than anything else, okay? I know before, there was a young man that told me, if I ever find a spouse, I need to find someone that runs. One day, we will all not be running. Right? God forbid that we would never be running one day. Okay? Because of certain things or because we're too busy. Okay? By the way, running doesn't solve fundamental differences. Okay? And running in of itself does not solve the problem of what? Sin. Okay? So do not misinterpret everything I say. I'm not saying, hey, do not have any compatibility thing or anything similar. But we need to have it in the right place rather than things that are superficial. And believe it or not, people say things like that, right? Oh, I need to find someone that runs compatible with me. Or I need to find someone that eats healthy. Oh, there's a lot of food Pharisees in the church, but that's another sermon another time, okay? Okay, whoa, don't throw stones, okay? And there's also a lot of food libertines, too. Can I say this, okay? There's a lot of libertines with food, too, okay? But you don't want to be a legalist or a libertine, okay? Okay? So point number two, God does not want believers to be like-minded, okay? No, God does want believers to be like-minded. There are verses that talks about that. Romans 15:5. Edward, could you read that out loud? It's okay. And then, Victor, just be ready to read 2 Corinthians 13:11. Okay.
Romans 15:5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Okay. You're using NIV?
ESV,
okay. Literally, the verse in NASB, I think in the Greek, is also same mind with one another, okay? Could you read 2 Corinthians 13:11, Victor?
Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, God of love, and peace will be with you.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so you see here, right? Be comforted, be like-minded, okay? Philippians 2:2. Eric, would you be able to read Philippians 2:2?
Make my joy complete by being of the same level, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose.
Okay. Nancy, would you be able to read Philippians 2:20? We'll switch it up now. We'll have women too. Philippians 2:20. Okay. Oh, you know, I think I quoted the wrong verse. Okay. But here we see all these verses shows what? All these verses shows that we are to be what? Of like-minded. So there's a part where we do need to be compatible and similarities, things that are similar, okay? There is that. But then the question then is, what are the similarities, okay? If you look at point number three, moving on, within the sub-point of point two, yet people can try to pursue similarities over superficial things that don't help with marriage. I think I give the example, right? You know, you could be like, I know this, I've heard this before, a couple, they always fight, and say, okay, well, at least we both like movies, so let's watch movies. Now, you could dull your marriages with movies. I'm not saying, I'm not like a legalist, you know, that there's a place and time for watching movies, some movies, right? But at the same time, watching all movies, does it fundamentally solve your marriage problem? Just doing that similarity thing. No, right? Or, like, for example, some would say, hey, liking the same kind of music and same kind of sport while having different views of family and raising kids isn't going to help the marriage, okay? Isn't going to help a marriage, okay? You know, there is, you know, like, I know somebody, often the way they deal with problems is they go to concerts, watch all their favorite whatever, Kiss FM concert, whatever else. But then they have a fundamental world of a difference. Would just be hanging out with, enjoying the same music, would that solve the marriage problem? When you have a wrong view, a different view of money, a different view of morality and ethics? No, right? Okay? So we need to not pursue in superficial things, okay? So what we need to be like-minded is actually right doctrines of God, okay? 1 Timothy 6:3. Nancy Chan, would you be able to read 1 Timothy 6:3?
A
Yeah. So according to this verse, right, we need to be a similar, what? Same mind with doctrines, okay? What is doctrines? Say this after me. Doctrine is a fancy way of saying teachings, okay? It's just teaching, okay? The question is your belief system biblical or unbiblical, okay? Notice here, it says the problem is what happens when you got to be careful of having different doctrine. But it's not different just for different. It's different doctrine that do not agree with what? The word of, what it says here, the word of God. And instead of saying the word of God, what does it say? Sound word. Literally in the Hebrew is healthy, I mean not Hebrew, Greek, is healthy words, okay? To contrast things that are gangrene, okay? That are unhealthy, okay? That's a medical thing that probably Sarah would probably appreciate more than all of us, right? As PA, with that, okay? But with right doctrine, with the doctrine conforming to godliness, okay? Notice this verse says doctrine conforming. If you have the right doctrine, it will produce godliness, okay? It will produce godliness. And you say it doesn't, that means you haven't really believed it, okay? Yes, realize whatever you do reflects what you really believe, okay? If you believe that your cup of water has 1% poison, or it has a little drop of, arsenic, okay? And you're even like 20% possibility, would you still drink that water? Well, I hope none of you guys are a gambling man or a woman, okay? You wouldn't, right? So notice what you believe will impact, right? Even doubt, barely believing it, possibility, would even impact your action. So I bring this to say is this, that right beliefs will produce godliness. This is what God's word says. And if you don't produce godliness, you have to ask yourself, what do you really believe about God? You know the right answers, but sometimes we don't really believe the right answer, right? You know the right answer is when I ask you, hey, is God in control? You say yes. But then now you have to deal with this temptation. He says, oh no, I need to marry this person, even though they're what? Ungodly and hairy and scary. But I'm going to marry them even because what? I don't believe really God's in control, right? Or marriage difficulty. I say, I don't want to talk about my spouse's sin. I would rather talk about incompatible because why? That person will get really angry with me. Are they trusting, fearing man or fearing God more? If they fear man more or woman more, they're not truly fearing God, understanding who he truly is, okay? So as practical application, areas of doctrinal similarities include what? Biblical view of the following areas. A biblical view of God, man, right? By the way, if you have a different view of man, would there be conflict? Yeah, right, okay? Would there be conflict, okay? Okay, are you guys here? If you guys have an unbiblical view of man, will there be conflict in your marriage? Yeah, okay. You know those people that are really into self-esteem? Obviously, they have a low view of man in terms of, accurate view of man's sinfulness, right? Mm-hmm. If your solution to thing is to be confident, you are saying, hey, you can do it. Whereas Scripture says, what? Hey, you're a wretch. You can't do this unless you rely on what? Him. So confidence or faith is misplaced in two different places, right? So if you married a marriage, someone that's always talking about self-confidence, they're not going to be very confident, okay? The people that talk about self-confidence the most are the most unconfident people, okay? Or what do you call that? Unconfident. We call it insecure, okay? With that, okay? Also as well as sin, okay? Christ, salvation, sanctification, heaven, hell, ethics, manhood, womanhood, okay? Marriage. Manhood, womanhood is, I'm talking about the role of man and woman, right? Marriage, right? Biblical view of husband and wife, right? Children, communication, conflict resolution. Do you know the biblical view of those areas? Do you desire to help hold those same views as God, right? By the way, in the end of the day, we're not trying to be just compatible with each other, spouse. We ultimately want to be compatible with what? With God. Okay? We want to eventually have similarities with what? You want to be on the same page with God. More than just being on the same page with your spouse, okay? And of course, you want your spouse to be on the same page with God. But I bring this to say that's what it is. Sometimes we can be so much about man-centered, but we need to have a God-centered view of compatibility, okay? It's really about being on the same page with God, okay? Realize going against God's way in the world will have consequence, right? Sometimes people say, oh, you know, I don't want this, but it is, okay? Let's go to point number three. We need to pursue biblical solutions for differences in relationship and marriage, okay? So I think this is more application now. Now that we know that our main problem is sin and selfishness and pride, yet we also know there's differences. So how do we work with differences, okay? So this is going to be more practical, okay? Application one. Edward, would you be able to read application? Or Margaret, would you be able to read application one? Big girl voice, sorry. Okay, so the first thing in dealing with differences is you got to accept that, A, you are different, okay? People are different. And people will be different over time. Because people are always what? Whether for the better or for the worse, okay? You guys remember that line when you're married? For better or for worse, okay? But hopefully it's the first, okay? So, application number two. Could I have Sarah? Would you be able to read application number two? Are you able to find it? Sorry. It's under point number two. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. You need to believe that having little in common doesn't mean failure in marriage.
And then we'll fill in the blank, right? So even if there's not much in common, that's not the end of the marriage, okay? That means you have to work harder in certain areas. What are those certain areas? Know the other person well, okay? If you're different, that means you probably might not know. You can't just say, oh, I'm like them, and therefore we're going to be the same, and therefore I know through self-knowledge of who I am myself, okay? So you need to know the other person well. How do you know the other person well? You need to communicate well. How do you communicate well? You go to sermonaudio.com. Look under Jimmy Lee under the marriage part. The last 3 months, we're going to talk about communication, okay? You need to also work hard to appreciate the other person, okay? We need to work hard to appreciate the other person, okay? Listen, my wife and I are very different, okay? Well, somewhat. You know, we are, okay? I'm an owl, and my wife is a what? My wife is an early bird, right?
No.
Early worm? What's the term called? If you're an early worm, I'm the owl that eats a worm. Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. We're different, okay? We are very different. But that doesn't mean we stop. We also need to, what? Second point is know, appreciate the other person, okay? Appreciate the other person, okay? We need to realize that, okay? My idea of a good family vacation is very different than Nancy's. My idea is let's go to what? I would like to go to, like,
Louisiana.
Library? Library, Louisiana.
I said library.
Yeah, okay. Well, I like to, okay, non-vacation, like just normal day. Yeah, I kind of do like to go to a library. Okay. Yeah, I know I'm kind of boring that way. But when you talk about vacation, like we were just talking to Nancy, like, what did I say? Like, I would love to go on vacation where?
You said, well, there's two. You said you want to go to Louisiana. And then you wanted to camp out in the back.
Oh, that's not talking about that part. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's, no, that's cool. And then the other part is Germany, right? I'd like to go to Germany. Okay, yeah. Yeah. It's just because I've never been there, right? It's so, but we're so different. But my wife is like, right? Did you say Russia? The history of the Russia? June 22nd, 23rd, VBS. Okay, wow, you guys are so funny. Bring it all around together, okay? Okay, so you need to appreciate the other person. By the way, I so appreciate my wife. Oh man, I feel like almost 9 years into marriage, I actually appreciate my wife more than when I first got married. I actually appreciate my wife even more than when I first signed up the dotted line to be married, okay? I didn't know what it gives me. Actually, I think my wife is the better person than I am, okay? I'm so glad to come back home. I was like, whoa, there's a meal. Whoa, there's water here already. Whoa, like, wow, it's like coming home from, it's just like, wow, it's like, you know, you deal with people's problems all day, you come home, and then, like, she brings the girls a greeting. It's like, wow. So, you ever see those pictures of, like, you know, more veteran POWs coming home, the greeting? That's like that. It's like, wow, okay. So, you appreciate the other person, even though it's so different, okay? She appreciates the home life. I do appreciate going out, making things happen, okay? So, we need to appreciate the differences, okay? You need to see the other person's perspective, okay? We'll also remember the biblical perspective, okay? Application number three. Nancy, would you be able to read application number... just kidding. Nancy Chan. Read application number three. Yeah. You know, the best way to bring unity is to be in the Word of God together, okay? Why? So if you're in the Word of God, you will be changed, okay? Romans 12:2, okay? Romans 12:2, repeat this after me. I'm going to just read part of it. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, stop repeating that, okay? So, how do we have the renewing of the mind is through the Word of God, okay? You do want to change. You ever hear people say things like, it's like, oh man, I'm getting divorced because my wife has changed so much. It's like, well, if you didn't change, that's also a problem too, mister, right? There should be change. There need to be change of being what? Godliness, okay? And the way to be changed godly is to be in the Word of God, okay? Okay? So, more than going out to some crazy place like Louisiana or whatever else, be in the Word of God, okay? Be in the Word of God together, okay? Yeah, be in the library if they have the Word of God there, okay? So all of that is to be what? To be in the Word of God, okay? Let me ask this question, you guys. For those, all of us that are couple, do you guys read the Word of God every day? Individual? Raise your hand if you guys read the Word of God every day, individually. Okay? How many of you guys regularly go to the Word of God together? Maybe not every day, but at least one, at least during the week, there's times you guys do have spiritual conversation with your spouse, right? Yeah, you guys should have that. You guys should have that because to be conformed by the Word of God, okay? Men, take responsibility, right? You guys have to be the leader, servant leader. Don't just like, don't have a Bible study when you have an argument, okay? That's like the worst time to have a Bible study. Or not necessarily. If you're doing that with an agenda, that's a bad time, okay? Don't use the Bible as a weapon, like, you know, to smack someone's head, okay? Like, the bigger the MacArthur Study Bible, the better. No, that's not what we need to do, okay? So, we need to be transformed. So, point number four, application four. Margaret, would you be able to read application four?
We need to know that the hard work put into marriage is what makes your love yourself more.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, the problem with a worldview that we look at compatibility first, why we love somebody, is you really end up not loving that person. Because when you're trying to look for similarities only, you're going to see a lot of differences. And then that difference says, oh, that's why I should not love you. But when you know that you're different, when you say, you know, I'm going to find out to know about my wife. When I'm going to find out, you know, I need to also appreciate my husband. And then when you do all that, notice then what your love will actually grow. So the hard work of doing all that will grow your love for your marriage, okay? Will grow your love for your marriage. And there will be less conflict. By the way, there's a difference between conflict and disagreeing. You guys realize you could disagree and still have that conflict, right? You could disagree in a what? Adult way, godly way, right? So the last point I want to say is this. Pray. Prayer is not a panic button. Rather, true prayer is what? Communion and joining God. And you're telling Him everything. When your relationship goes well, you say, Lord God, I'm so thankful for Nancy. Not because I'm deserving, but you have allowed us to be together. Right? That's out of heart of thankfulness. Because I love God, I'm talking to Him. Then I pray too, right? Because I know I'm a sinner. I bring my very own weapon to destroy the marriage. So I also pray, Lord God, grow myself first to be more godly. And grow Nancy too to be more godly. So that this marriage to glorify you first. Okay? That means also when you're difficulty, oh, man, we have a hard time with this. Whatever it is, finance, whatever. You say, dear God, you're the Lord of Provider. I want to be able to serve the church and give financially, but it's hard. But Lord God, could you make a way possible? Right? So all of this is to say prayer, okay? Is to enjoy God. Have you ever thought about it? We're so different than God. You guys realize that? You know, we're more similar to our spouse than are similar to God. You guys realize that? And yet, can we have a relationship with God? Yeah. Yeah, why is it possible we can have a relationship with God? It's because of God. He forgave us. He loved us. He's patient with us. He works in us. He leads us. He shepherds us. And listen, that's the role of the husband too, when there's differences, okay? And that's also the role of us as the church, submitting to that, okay? And let that move you. Realize, man, the greatest relationship we'll ever have is with someone that's totally different than us. That's God. But yet He chose to love us so much. What did He do? He became a man. And then even His likeness, He's not fully like us. We're sinners. He's not sinful. And in His sinlessness, He died for us. Let that move you to say, this is why, if I can have a relationship with the most different person ever in all of creation, how could I not, because of God, live in relationship with me, not help me with the differences of personality of my spouse and have this work? Okay? In the end, what we need the most is Christ and the gospel and His grace.